hard taskmaster. He gave those Israelites a job of making bricks. And then he took the materials it took to make them. Sound like he really didn't want them to be a success, did he? He just put the pressure on them. Cracked the whip. Dominated, dictated, took their liberties away. They say that, you've heard it told, and I've read it, Borum in one of his books, told about there in South Africa, I believe it was, when the slaves there won their independence. And they gathered around and had a funeral. Brother Jason, you read that? They took that whip of the master, put that whip in a coffin, and went out and had a funeral, and buried that whip, and had a ceremony, and then celebrated in jubilation, because the whip was buried, the task master, amen, had been defeated, and they had their liberties. Amen. I remember what touching story they have in the Holocaust Museum when those American soldiers pushed the Germans out, and a lot of those that were captive, those Jews, were left behind, and they were hiding in a little barn. And this American soldier came in, and this woman told her testimony. She said this American soldier came in and found them there hiding in the hay. And this young woman feared for her life because she just assumed it was the German soldiers coming to get her and take her back to the concentration camp. But she said when the American came in and they interviewed him too, he said to her, "There's no need to fear. I'm with the United States Army, and I have come to liberate you." And she said, "What a wonderful feeling." And you know, it's kind of an odd story, but that couple ended up staying in touch and ended up getting married, becoming man and wife. That American soldier and that Jewish lady that was liberated. And, you know, when somebody unlocks your cell, takes the chains off. That's why an emancipator was so well revered, because he makes life better for all those that he releases. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to preach a little bit this morning, if I could. I want you to look at Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Sweet Lamb of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Let me read it again. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Now this is prophetic of who? Jesus Christ. He rehearses it in the book of Luke again. "But the Spirit of the Lord God," capital S, "Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Now, I think we all, and I think it would benefit us this morning sometimes to realize, amen, where we've came from. When the children of Israel were escaped from, or the children of Israel were escaped from Egypt, and Moses began to give them their commandments. We commonly talk about 10, but they were more than that. But the 10 commandments that were prominent. But there was another commandment. And he told the children of Israel, he said, "Now when you go into this new land, I want you to treat those that are strangers that come to you with kindness. Because remember, You were in bondage at one time. You were a stranger. You were alienated. Amen. So he said, I want you to have a tender spot for those that are bound, because you yourself was a prisoner. Amen. Come on now. Is that right or not? I feel like preaching a little bit. Why y'all feel like good? Huh? I feel like preaching a little bit. You see, we've got to understand. I've heard people talk about freedom, you know, and they talk about it in a negative sense about religion. Why? I've heard people that went to church. I don't know where they're coming from. But they get out of church and they'll say, I'm tired of being bound. I've got my freedom now. And I watch them. They're not free. They're hooked on everything. They're hooked on lust of the flesh. They go from, you know, one big time to another. They're hooked on drink and drug and porn. That's not free. Amen. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, come on now. I don't think we understand sometimes, just where the Lord, the freedom that God has gave us. And I want you to realize this. The Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, one of the greatest lessons, I think, in the whole Bible, the book of Romans, explains so well to us. Now, in essence, you can't be independent of every, you're going to be bound to something. Somebody say amen. You're either going to be bound to the chains of sin. How many knows that sin is a horrible, horrible prison? Come on now, church, can you say amen? I was there. I got saved at 19 years old. Sin is a horrible prisoner. Bread and water? Oh, no water. Amen. It is a horrible prison to be in. Men were sitting in darkness. Men were bound. And then Jesus said, amen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. That's the gospel. Good tidings is the gospel. Amen. To preach good tidings to the meek. And then he says this, he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Can you say amen? That's what it means to be free in the Lord Jesus. Praise God. How many are free this morning? A lot of times we're not, because we're bound to either sin or we're bound to our own nature. We're bound to the flesh. We're controlled by our own spirit. We're controlled by our own habits and our own whims. Amen. We're all human beings. Amen. But God wants us to have some liberties, to not be just driven. The Bible said, bring every thought into captivity. Not be captive by our thoughts, but bring our thoughts into captivity. Not to be bound by our spirit, but bring our spirit under control. For the Bible said, he that cannot control his own spirit is like a city without walls. We cannot just let our tempers fly. Amen. That's not freedom. You're bound by that. You'll tear something up you really didn't want to. You'll hurt somebody's feelings that you really love when you're out of control. But I'm telling you, Christ will give you liberty to walk right and do right. Amen. Come on now. I'll preach a few minutes here this morning, but anointing. Amen. Jesus Christ was, of course, divine, and the Holy Ghost also. Amen. But as his example to us and God's divine plan, he said, I'm anointed by the Holy Ghost, amen, to break people out of jail. Hallelujah. I'm glad he did. Brother, it took something. I couldn't do it. I tried a dose of do better. Took a lot of them. Almost overdosed on a dose of do better. Amen. Because, my parents were disciplinarians. Even my little humble gray-headed mama would smack my jaws. I hate to bring this up, Mom, like this. But I'll tell you, my dad, they were disciplinarians. So I had a reason to try to do right, but I couldn't. I couldn't do it. Amen. It took something bigger than me to break out of this prison I was in. Amen. It took something stronger than my hand and my ability and my desire to want to get out of this prison. Amen. But I want to tell you something right now. When I knelt at the foot of that bed 35 years ago, November, amen, there was one came in and broke the chains of my life and let me go free. Come on now. Woo! I like what Brother Zane has said before. Amen. I remember years ago he got up and said this and people looked at him kind of funny. But he said, you know, all you got to do is get saved and then do what you want to. And everybody just, but brother, that is, in essence, is really the truth of the matter. Get born again, get the mind of Christ, get converted in your heart, walk in the Spirit, and then just do what you want to do. You know, the problem is, people aren't really doing what they want. They're doing what their master is bidding them to do. And their master, amen, is the lust of the flesh, amen, and sin that is driving them into the prison called hell. But aren't you glad there was a shining white knight rode in, amen, from Calvary? Amen. Oh, yeah. When I was a boy, years ago, the Calvary would come riding in, blowing the bugles and coming in to straighten things up. Brother, there was a Calvary that rescued us, but it wasn't the military. Amen. It was an old rugged cross, an anointing upon the Son of God, where he could look at a man that was bound by the devil and say, loose him and let him go. Somebody say amen. Oh, I wish I was a preacher this morning. Praise God, I want to preach about liberty. I love liberty. I really love my country because of God. You hear me? It's because, see, God is a God of liberty. I love that verse. Is it in Isaiah 9, Brother Mark? Where the first few verses there where it talks about the prophecy of Christ. And it talks about, you know, every battle is with confused noises and garments dipped in blood. But, brother, I've never noticed this, Brother Jason. Look at the ninth chapter, and you see there where it talks about a son, a child is born, a son is given. Or read the verse before that. For every battle is with confused noises, right? Now, this is your normal warfare. But I notice this. This is not the warfare of the spirit world. Listen to the next verse. For unto us a child is born. Now, what kind of warfare do we have with a baby? How can a baby win the war for us? A child is born. Go ahead. A son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and you know the verse. Now go up a few verses up there, amen, and read for me. Praise the Lord. Just start at the first verse. It'll be all right with me. Go ahead. Yes. Listen. Ooh. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Go right ahead. Upon them hath the light shine. Help me now. According to the joy in the harvest. And as men rejoice that divide the spoil. Listen. Thou hast broken the yoke. You know what a yoke is? That is that burden. That is that binding. That is the thing that keeps you going in this way. He said he have broken the yoke. I'm going to tell you, the devil will put a yoke on you. Amen. That's what he'll do. That's why we're preaching the gospel to you. Amen. We're not trying to get folks to join the church. We're not trying to get folks to join our culture, our clique. We're trying to get them loose from the jailhouse, the prison, the yoke that they're in. I want you to notice this right here. Read, Brother Mark, for me, please. Listen. Do you know how he destroyed this yoke? How many knows how he destroyed this yoke? Huh? What does the Bible say that destroys the yoke? The anointing of God destroys the yoke. Amen. We can't teach it really in Bible school. Not really. To experience it. You've got to experience it. You can talk about old time religion. I've had people say, you know, that knew me, that, you know, this, I was a Christian. They didn't know anything about Christianity much. And they say, well, you must just be, you know, it's just your personality. Or you just must. Hey, that ain't got a thing to do with it. I'll tell you what causes a man and a woman to be free. It's when the Spirit of God, the anointing of God that comes upon them, when they're born of God, those chains fall off. Is anybody going to help me preach this morning? I said, when we're born of God, those chains fall off. Amen, that liberty. I talked to you about our country today. I talked to you about some of the men like Patrick Henry and John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and those men with guts and backbone and grit that was willing. Nathan Hale, amen, that said, I regret as they were hanging him on the gallows. He said, I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. And they fought it out. They're kind of like the Hebrews 11. They didn't see that promise, but they embraced that promise. They didn't experience it, but they saw it afar off. And they had faith. And they paved the way. And they built the way for us. Amen. Come on now. I'll tell you what. Amen. Our forefathers, amen, built the way in this country. But there was a Savior, amen, that was anointed of the Holy Ghost, that came to this world that he might set you free from sin and yourself. Amen. Oh, I wish I could preach to you today. I wish I could preach to you. You read the book of Romans. And Paul, and I don't want to differ if anybody's different than this. You may, if you're right, then I can be convinced. But Paul says that I would do, when I would do good, evil's present. And the thing that I would do, I do not. Now, I know people say that is a Christian life that has not been sanctified yet. Well, I don't understand that part of it. But I do know that a lot of times people have goodwill. And the carnal nature of man is overpowering that will. And you say, well, are they still? So, well, the Bible does say to be carnally minded is death. We're going to have to be sanctified if we go to heaven. If we're not sanctified, we can't go to heaven. Huh? Is that right or not? That's right. Y'all slow to answer that, but can you be unsanctified and go to heaven? Come on in. Unsanctified people, take them right over. You'll be on this side over here. Sanctified people right over here. And them that ain't sure, right over here. Huh? No. I'm going to tell you something. Christ died not only to forgive us of our sins of our past, but to loosen us from the chains of sin right today. Sin no longer had dominion over us. Help me now. Somebody say amen. Read the book of Romans. It's all. I don't have time to go to the 6th chapter, the 8th chapter, the 12th chapter. It's all in there. One of the greatest things ever written in this world was the book of Romans. And it was telling those Jewish Christians, or those Roman Christians, amen, that they did not have to be bound by their lust and carnality and their appetite. Amen. You could go into Greece and Rome, and they were so full of perversion. They had statues of pornography. They were into into incest and homosexuality. They were the most evil bunch there ever was, Holly, in the whole wide world. They were given over to reprobate minds. Amen. They had horrible things wrong. And Paul said, look, I want you to realize there in Rome that you don't have to be a prisoner to these inordinate affections. There was a Savior that came, not just to, amen, save you from your sin, amen, that he can, amen, keep you and give you power. Amen. Come on now. I tell you, we have a problem sometime, even in the house of God, that people get the idea they can do as they please because God's just going to overlook it because of Calvary. But brother, here's the thing. Amen. God hates sin. Sin will never enter his presence. Sin is, amen, a chain, a binding upon you. Amen. You got to get broke loose. And there's a Son of God, amen, that came with an anointing to break the chain in your life. Is that right? How many's glad you're free? When we sing about, praise God. I was once in Egypt's bondage, but deliverance came to me. Now from it I found the cleansing, for the Son hath made me free. How's it go, Brother Robert? I am dwelling now in Canaan. Blood avails for me. I am free from condemnation, for the Son hath made me free. Woo. I hear some chains rattling in here this morning. I'd like to see you get them off. Come to the house of God. You know what gives us the liberty to worship the Lord? I'll tell you one of the most astounding things I can remember very well. First time I ever went to church and lift my hand. Brother, it was like an act of Congress. I'd never done anything like that in my whole life. Oh, I'd cussed and growled and fussed and fought. Amen. Lied and cheated and hid. Amen. But I'd never raised my hands. I'd made fun a few times of religious folk. But I'd never raised my hand and worship the Lord. Praise God. But I'll tell you what. Amen. That when I got the full of God in my life and I went to the house of God, and the preacher said, won't you lift your hands and praise the Lord? Well, I didn't take the tuck head and look through my, amen, the songbook. I just raised my hands and worshiped the Lord. Well, come on now. Amen. I want to preach to you a little bit. The liberty, amen, to be able to go to somebody that's done you wrong. Instead of hating them and looking for a way to cut their gizzard out. Amen. You say, Lord, I thank you. You've helped me forgive them this morning. Amen. Come on now. To be able to tell the devil, you ain't got nothing on me but your eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on now. Amen. We've been set free. It's time we had a funeral and bury the whip. Hallelujah. What is it's got your nose to the grindstone this morning? What is it's got you, amen, wondering if God even exists and you ain't nobody can live it? Brother, I tell you, I preach to people and pastor to people sometimes. Amen, be bound by something and if you get close to it, they get mad. Huh? I'll tell you what, you preach against cigarettes. And if people's got the habit, and you know, why would you preach against cigarettes? Why not? Huh? Read that little line down there on the deal. It's killing you. And I tell you what, I know people. I love. I love them to death. Amen. But and they tell you, they'll tell you right off the bat. They'll say, "I wish I'd have never smoked the first one." When they get up in the morning and cough for an hour and a half trying to get a good breath. Amen. Why not tell them to leave them things alone? Amen. So, come on now. Y'all going to help me preach a little bit? Why not get some liberty about you? Amen. Ask the Holy Ghost to come in you and give you the liberty. Now, I know that tobacco and even prescription drugs and alcohol and those things have a physical tendency. But they tell me that now, I just read this. I don't know. But they tell me that if you've got a nicotine habit, that after about 2 weeks to 20 days, that physical dependency starts waning away. So if you're here and you got the habit this morning, I'll tell you, we'll pray for you. We'll ask God to deliver you from that thirst because it is killing you. How many knows I'm telling you right? Huh? And you don't need to be bound by something like that. Amen. That's something that's killing you. Amen. That's, am I telling you right or not? And you know, you gotta be careful on medication that eases the pain. Amen. You get to eating them babies and you just smile. And your wife used to be so grouchy and now you're just picking her up and hugging her and carrying her around the house. Something ain't right here. I can hear some wives saying, my husband ain't on them. But you get hooked on them, they'll destroy you. They'll destroy you. You get addicted. I don't think it's God's will that we have addictions. Do you? Huh? I don't think we ought to be addicted with shopping. Happy 4th of July. Yeah, I think people go shopping just to cure some urge they got, and they take it home, put it in a corner, and never touch it again. You don't need, hey, it's expensive to be a habit like that. Is that right or not? There's some people got a habit of lying. It's like little old boys, God bless them, they're not in here today, but little old boys, you go by, deer season's the worst, Brother Mac, and you'll hear one little old boy say, my daddy killed a 12-pointer. And then before it's done, if you'll just wait, not only did his daddy, this other boy's daddy killed a 12-pointer, I killed a 20-pointer. Yeah. And you just wait. Boy, it's getting bigger all the time. You know what? If you ain't careful, you don't outgrow that. You'll get up like that old preacher did it. Used to exaggerate bad. And you know, preachers have a problem. You got to watch it, you know, not making it bigger than it is. And that one old preacher, and you heard Brother Ralph Horton telling about the preacher that had a bad problem. It got him, Brother Harley. It got kicked him out of the church over it. He went to the next church. They voted him in. And his wife said, you got to watch this exaggeration here. He said, well, you need to help me. He said, if I get out of the way, if you'll just whisper taper, I'll taper it down to right. And so first Sunday he got up. Last church I pastored was a lot larger than this church. It was 300 feet long, he said. His wife said, taper. And he said, 3 foot wide. Do you think people get in a habit of lying? How many things people get a habit of exaggerating? People get in a habit. I'm going to tell you, some of the worst things in the world, the internet today, I'm done. And how'd you get off on this? I feel better right here than I have all the morning. But I'll tell you that internet, if you're not careful, listen, one of the worst things, you got young boys in your house, you ought to never let them on the internet without supervision. Huh? Or girls, either one for that matter. If they're going to get on there and surf, and I don't know why, what the purpose of it is, but you ought to watch what they're doing, because they'll get hooked on that stuff and that old filth. That's right, I'm preaching you right. And you get an addiction there, and they'll end up, they won't have a normal marriage. They'll marry some little girl, and she won't be what they've been looking at all their life on that internet, and they won't last, and they'll go to another and another and another, and just perverts them. Amen. And if you're having a problem with that nonsense today, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to go home and load that thing up in a truck and take it down to Clinch River, and you ought to take your shotgun with you. You listening to me? And the first thing you want to do is you want to shoot that thing right in the face. And then take you an axe and chop it up in a million pieces and then burn it. And then take the ashes and scatter them up and down the riverbank. And then get on your knees and apologize for all the muskrats that you just polluted their environment. Now, other than that, I don't care what you do with it. But if it's going to cause you and pervert your life and ruin your home and ruin your way of thinking, you don't even need it. Huh? You don't even need it. Huh? And I'll tell you what. And I know we got a problem. It's always been a problem. And I know if somebody wants to go out of town and go to some old club, they can do that. I know you can't keep people from sinning. But if you've got a weakness there, come on, man. If you was an alcoholic, I don't think you'd have a Jack Daniels sitting in your bookcase. Quiet in here, ain't it? You can get deliverance. How many knows you can get deliverance? God can break the chain of those habits. He can break the chain. You may be having trouble this morning between husband and wife. They may just have a habit of talking and being hateful. And you say, well, I don't, you may be here and say, I just don't know. My husband's been hateful since our honeymoon, and I don't know if he's going to be any better. I tell you what, who can help that? Ain't getting much help in here today. Somebody wave the flag or something. This might have been an omen right here, Brother Matt. It's going from here to there. Amen. How many believes you can be free in Jesus Christ? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Unlock the chains. Unlock the chains. Stand with me. God bless you. The devil loves to hook you up on stuff that hurts you.